Halloween, or All Hallows' Eve. The evening of October the 31st, it's the eve of All Hallows, or the Festival of All Saints, which is tomorrow, November the 1st. And supposedly, that's the day that all the spirits, good and bad, get to come back to earth and work, and it's the day that was set up to pay homage to them. And even today, the day before that, Halloween, or All Saints' Eve, is a day given over to honoring demons. I mean, there's more talk about Satan and demons and witches and ghosts this time of year than there is any other time of year. There's more pranks that go on this time of year. I mean, every city has a neighborhood watch to keep an eye out on, especially vacant houses, so that people don't set fire to them. You know, people still throw eggs and they still spread TP, toilet paper, throughout trees and all that other stuff to mark the day. Some people dress up and try to be people that they're not. Of course, you know, it's become, you know, the kids do it, and we had some adults do it, and it's a fun thing to do, but, you know, we dress up and we appear to be things that we're not. And what we do, and I know some communities did it Friday night, some last night, and some are going to do it tonight, but what is done on Halloween any other time of year would be considered blackmail. Trick or treat. Give me a trick or give me a treat or I'm going to pull a trick. Now, if we did that any other time of year, you would call it blackmail, but we do it on Halloween, you know, and have some fun with it. And so this morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled Trick or Treat. I have one point. Now, I've got three examples, but I got one point. And my point is very, very simple. I want to remind you this morning is this. Satan has all the tricks. God has all the treats. Amen. Amen? Satan has all the lies. God has all the truth and is truth. Satan wants what's bad for you. God wants what's good for you. And so let me just give you three examples of those truths. Number one, in the Garden of Eden, there was a time of trick or treat. You see, God wanted us to live in the Garden of Eden. Satan is the one that got us kicked out. The Garden of Eden was a perfect spot. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed." And so this place that we call the Garden of Eden was made by God. It was full of his goodness. I think it was a taste of heaven on earth, and God wanted us to be there. In the Garden of Eden, I don't think there were any weeds or grass in the flower beds. I mean, I don't think there were. They were just flowers. I don't think that flies buzzed in the Garden of Eden. I think there were flies, but I don't think they buzzed. And I think there were mosquitoes, but I don't think they bit. I mean, I think they were there, but they didn't buzz and they didn't bite. You could stay in the sun and not have to worry about skin cancer or the rays that are harmful to our skin. I don't think you even have to worry about a sunburn. The fruits and the vegetables were more delicious and fresh than we've ever known them. You could take in deep breaths of air, and the air was sweet and pure. And you could do things with animals in the Garden of Eden that we would not try today. You could pet a lion. You could run with a tiger. All the animals that we fear today, Adam and Eve had no fear of in the Garden of Eden because they were friends with their masters. And the best part of the Garden of Eden is that mankind got to fellowship with God. Adam and Eve, in that place that he made for them and placed there, had fellowship with their Creator, had fellowship with their God. Again, we read in the book of Genesis that in the cool of the day, God would walk in the Garden of Eden and visit with those that he had created. And God said to this man and this woman, he said, "Everything that is here is yours." It was all treats. I mean, there was nothing bad in the Garden of Eden. Everything was made by God, and it was wonderful. And he says, it's all yours. I want you to have it, except for one thing. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't want you to eat of that fruit, because in the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. You see, God wanted our obedience by choice. He wanted us to love him by choice. And so he put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden. He didn't put it in a remote corner where it would be hard to find. He didn't post angel guards around it. He put it in the center of the Garden of Eden. He trusted Adam and Eve that they would be obedient. And by the way, again, it was their choice to sin, and Satan didn't make them sin. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he said, everything is yours except for this one tree. This is mine. Don't eat of this tree, because in the day that you do, you will die. And again, the Garden of Eden was full of treats. Everything there was good. And again, I think it was a foretaste of heaven. Because when we get to heaven, everything is going to be good. Then along comes Satan, the one with the tricks. And in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that he was more subtle or sneaky than any other beast. And he came to Eve and he says, yea, hath God said. You see, Satan did the same thing back then. He's been a liar ever since the beginning. He did the same thing back then that he does today. The first thing that he does, always does, is cast doubt on the word of God. He cast doubt on what God said. God said, don't eat of the tree, because the day that you do, you will die. And Satan comes back and says, hath God said this? Did you really understand him? Oh, I think you misunderstood God. I don't think God really meant that if you ate the fruit, you would die. I think God, what God was saying is that if you ate the fruit, you'd be more like him. Your mind would be open. You would understand things that you can't understand now. And so Satan told Adam and Eve this lie, and the Bible says she saw that the fruit was good for food, pleasant to the eye, desired to make one wise. She ate it. Adam gave it to Adam. He ate it. Man sinned. And again, it was their choice. Satan did not have the power to make Adam and Eve eat the fruit. He did not have that power. He simply came and told them a lie, tempted them, and it was their choice. They had to decide what they were going to do. And one of the first sad verses in the Bible is Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, where it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. That they died spiritually. They were separated from God. They didn't die physically, but they paid the price of sin. They died spiritually, separated from God, kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Man that was made to fellowship with God, that fellowship was broken because of their sin. And so, trick or treat. God's got all the treats. The Garden of Eden was full of the good things that God had prepared for those that he created. Trick or treat, you can choose, the Adam and Eve, you can choose the treats. All you had to do was obey God. All you had to do was be obedient to that one rule that he gave you, that one prohibition that he gave you, that tree was his, everything else was yours. Isn't it funny that mankind hadn't changed in their nature? I mean, if you tell a little kid, hey, you can have everything except this one thing over there, don't touch that. What do they want? They want that one little thing. And it's not just little kids, it's teenagers and adults as well. God put so many blessings in our life, and he says, now look, I've got all this good stuff for you to have. And Satan comes along and says, well, why don't you want that? God knows it's not good for us. He says, stay away from it. And I'm actually getting into my next point, but trick or treat. Trick or treat. God got all the treats, had all the treats in the Garden of Eden. Satan had all the tricks. He lied. Tempted man. Man made the choice. Got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Number two, trick or treat. How we live our life today. God wants us to live holy. He wants us to live good lives. Satan wants us to sin. Paul talked about the struggle that goes on in a Christian. He says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Paul says, I know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. I can tell the difference. But here's what Paul said. Those things that I know are wrong, that's what I want to do. And those things that I know are right, I don't do them. And he talked about that struggle that goes on between the old nature and the Holy Spirit, that struggle that goes on inside of every Christian. Do I do right or do I not do right? Do I listen to the Holy Spirit or do I ignore the Holy Spirit and listen to my old nature, that old man that is no. And by the way, when you get saved, the old man doesn't move out. The old man is still with you. That old nature that we have. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to get rid of it. But while here on earth, we have to fight it. So I read a story, and I've told you before, about the old Indian is trying to describe this process. He says, there's two dogs inside of me. There's a big black dog that is trying to get me to do wrong all the time. And there's a big white dog that's trying to get me to do right all the time. And all the time, these two dogs are fighting. All the time, these two dogs, it just seems like they grab a hold of me and pull me back and forth between right and between wrong. And somebody asked the old Indian, well, which dog wins? And the old Indian said, the one I say sick him to. Which one do you say sick him to? The old black dog or the old white dog? Now, trick or treat. God says, look, I have blessings for you. And by the way, not all of God's blessings would we put in the good category. Not all of God's blessings would we put in the good category. I'm going to mention it again tonight, but I was talking to a lady in our church yesterday. Fought cancer. Fought cancer. And she made a statement yesterday. She says, getting cancer was the best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing that ever happened to me. And I'll talk a little bit about it more tonight. You see, God has a plan for our life. And in that plan are all sorts of blessings. Things that he wants to use to make us more like Jesus. And by the way, that's his purpose. That's why we're here, so we can learn to be more like Christ. Now, as we learn to be more like Christ, he had things for us to do because Jesus did things when he was here on earth. But that's his plan, to make us more like his son. And so he sends things into our life. And sometimes we may not put them in the treat category, but I want to remind you this morning, they're all treats. Because everything that comes from God is good. We may not recognize it as good, but it is good. God is good, and the only thing that can come from him is good. We may not understand it till we get to heaven. We may not understand it even when we get to heaven, but I tell you what, when we get to heaven, we probably won't care. Because God will put into our life those things that we need to mold us and shape us to be more like Christ. And so Jesus says, the Holy Spirit says, hey, I have all these things for you. They're all treats. I just want you to live like you're supposed to. And then that old black dog, that old nature, that sinful nature that every single one of us was born with, every single one of us as Christian has, says, hey, you don't need to listen to the Holy Spirit. You're only alive a little bit. Why don't you just have fun? Don't worry about all the rules. Don't worry about all the restrictions. And I know all the kids, you know, the young kids are gone, but they have an old nature. And their old nature says, I don't need to listen to mom and dad. I don't need to listen to the teacher. I don't need to listen to my Sunday school teacher. And as we give ourselves, and we look at little kids, and some of them we say about, boy, the old nature's really got a hold of them. I want to tell you what, I think God looks from heaven to some of us adults and says the same thing. He says, I think the old nature has a hold of them too. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, I've got all these treats for you. And again, we may not recognize them all as treats, but they're all good things that God has planned for our life. And just like he gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden a choice, he gives us a choice. You can trust me and be obedient and enjoy all the treats that I have for you, or you can be disobedient and have to put up with all the tricks. Because I guarantee you, the way to please Satan is to ignore the Holy Spirit of God and do whatever you want. And by the way, that's what the world says. Hey, you can do whatever you want. You can decide what's wrong. You can decide what's right. Just go ahead and you're a little God yourself. Go ahead and decide. That's not what the Bible says. Trick or treat. And then number three, trick or treat. Heaven or hell. Let me remind you something this morning. God wants everybody here to go to heaven. Everybody. Satan wants everybody here to go to hell. He does. That's his desire. Now, he's already lost most of us. But his desire is that everybody go to hell. He's going there. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him and cast him into the bottomless pit. Now, this was just a temporary cast in at this point for the 1,000-year reign, but after that reign, he's going to be cast there forever. Satan wants you to go with him to that place of fire, darkness, the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. He wants you there with him. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan walks this earth, and he wants to get you to go to hell with him, and he'll tell all sorts of lies and pull all sorts of tricks to get you to listen to him, to get you to go with him. He'll say, now look, God's a God of love. God is love. He's a God of love. How can a God of love even conceive of a place called hell? Hell, and here's what he says. There's no hell. It's just a figment of some preacher's imagination. There is no hell. You don't need to worry about that place called hell. God loves everybody and will send nobody to hell. And I want you to realize this morning that Satan telling us a lie. There is a hell. God does love everybody, but the Bible also says that God is a God of justice. I mean, we can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and see when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they disobeyed God, they were kicked out of the garden. They paid the price of their sin. God hasn't changed since then. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The record of God is plain. He will judge sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Trick or treat. You get to choose. Do you want to go to heaven? You know, I was thinking about heaven this week. It's a wonderful place. I was talking to, I can't remember who I was talking to, somebody yesterday. And talking about, you know, some of our songs and our hymnals mention the streets of heaven. And I told this person I was talking to, I said, I don't think there's streets in heaven. I think there's only one street. And everybody lives on the same street. There is no other side of the tracks in heaven. No other side of the tracks. Everybody lives on the same street. Do you know where we're going to eat in heaven? A banqueting table? We won't, where's Brother Leonard? We won't have to worry about our sugar. We won't have to worry about our cholesterol. We won't have to worry, Brother Clyde, about, you know, what our blood pressure is, and we'll be able to eat. And by the way, I think God will have some banana pudding made with Butterfingers for me in heaven. You laugh. You just wait till you get there. You come over to my place. I'll show you. I hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that love him. Trick or treat. You can believe God when he says, hey, and Jesus said when he was here on this earth, I'm going to prepare a place for you. For you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can believe that and do what the Bible says to get ready and go to heaven and enjoy the treats of heaven. Or you can believe the lie of Satan and end up in hell. Satan said, oh, God loves everybody. He won't send anybody to hell. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there is a hell, and those that reject Christ will spend eternity there. Satan comes and he says, don't worry about how you live your life. He said, everybody else is doing it. Just go ahead. Follow the crowd. I mean, everybody's, you know, ignoring God. Everybody's just doing what they want to do. They're making the decision as to what and right is what's wrong themselves. Just go ahead and follow the crowd. And Satan says, you'll be okay. Jesus said the same thing. He said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be that go down that path. There's a lot of people on their way to hell. Don't follow the crowd, because that's where the crowd's going. Satan will say, hey, well, look, yeah, all this stuff is right. But you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. You don't have you can start thinking about God, and you can start thinking about Jesus, and you can do all that later. Later. And yet the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now look, trick or treat. It started in the Garden of Eden. It goes on today, and it will go on until the Lord comes back. Trick or treat. You get to choose. What do you want? Are you going to believe the tricks of Satan? Or are you going to take the treats of God? Are you going to believe the lies that Satan tells? Or are you going to believe the truth that God is? The truth is that we're all sinners. The truth is there's a penalty for our sin, and that penalty, just like Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the truth is the penalty for sin is to be separated from God. The truth is that when Jesus came and lived on this earth, he did so without sin. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, and then allowed us to take him and nail him to a cross. And as he was on that cross, he paid for every one of our sins. And the truth is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I can't think of a better, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I can't think of a better day to get saved than Halloween. A day that's set aside to honor the devil. And I know most of us don't think about it that way, but that's what it is. A day set aside to honor the devil, it'd be a wonderful thing to just take your foot and kick the devil in the mouth and say, hey, I ain't going to believe a lie that you tell me. I'm going to believe what God says, and I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior today. Today. I can't think of a better day to do it than today. Today. Would you? If you're here today and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a sinner, the penalty is hell, separation from God. You only have one chance to get to heaven, and that's to come to Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Would you this morning? Would you? And I know most of us here this morning are Christians, and I rejoice in that. I rejoice that most of us are on our way to heaven. But I want to tell you, there's a fight going on in every Christian between the Holy Spirit and that old nature. I'll tell you who wins. the one you say sic 'em to? Which one are you saying sic 'em to? Which one? The Holy Spirit or the old nature? I can't think of a better day than Halloween to say to the Holy Spirit, sic 'em. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to do what you say to do. Forget about the old man. He's a liar. He's a liar. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, can't think of a better day than to get saved. If you're here today and a Christian, can't think of a better day to say to the Holy Spirit, hey, let's get him, sick him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for making salvation so simple. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, I pray, Father, that they would see the black and white difference between you and Satan. I pray that it would be easy for them to see that you want them to go to heaven and Satan wants them to go to hell. That you want them to have a blessed life and Satan wants to screw up their life. And Father, I pray as they make their choice this morning between receiving Christ or rejecting him, that they'll pick the treat. They'll pick Jesus and they'll ask him to save them. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here this morning. And again, I just ask you to work in our lives. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads us. I pray for somebody here that's never been baptized, that maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to about getting baptized. They'd come this morning, kick Satan in the teeth and say, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. Maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to somebody about a special service, calling somebody to be a missionary. I pray that we'd be obedient and listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.